Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Come with us as we hop on social media. When we see a message on Twitter, we can quickly share it with everyone following our account by retweeting it. Simple enough action, exponential opportunity for more people to read it and share it with their own followers. So what happens when that message comes from a bot? It's time to find out. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about social media bots here on The Morning Show. What they are, how they work, how we figure out their true identity as, well, not a real person. And then we're digging deeper into how these bots change our perception of what's happening in our world. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed bots on your Twitter or Facebook feeds? How have you been able to spot them? And what do you wonder about the research? 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest is Kathleen Carley. She's a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, who is director of both the Center for Informed Democracy and Social Cybersecurity and the Center for Computational Analysis of Social and Organizational Systems. Kathleen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
I am glad to be here.
We should probably start by explaining exactly what a social media bot is.
So a bot is simply a computer program that can do things for you. So some of them are set up, for example, to take any tweet you give it and to just simply retweet it like every hour. Other ones are set up to engage and chat back and forth with people repeating common phrases.
So bots can chat with people?
Yes.
And so then how are people using them on social media?
Well, they're actually used in a huge number of ways. Many bots are just used for marketing purposes to just simply make sure that a group or an individual's brand gets out there, gets repeated, you know, gets mentioned a lot. Other ones are actually used to build groups and build communities by mentioning a bunch of individuals and then getting, you know, the platforms to then prioritize things for those other individuals. Bots can also just follow individuals and make them look more important than they are. They can make topics trend. So they're used in many, many ways.
So there are bots that are really boosting the popularity of real human accounts, real accounts. But then there are these more, I guess, nefarious ways that bots can be used against us as users.
Yes, but they can also be used in ways that can help you as users.
Tell me more.
So, well, the exact same technology that can be used to send out a message making you think that everybody in your group believes something that's not true, that exact same technology can be used to, for example, warn you that a tsunami is coming.
Okay, so bots aren't inherently bad. They can just,
no.
They can be used either way.
Exactly.
So you conducted a recent study analyzing more than 200 million tweets that address the coronavirus between January and May. What did the research show?
So our research showed that, our research suggests that there are a huge number of bots that are taking part in the discussions around the coronavirus. They're used in a large number of ways. Some of them are simply retweeting news articles. Some of them are sending, you know, retweeting whatever the World Health Organization, whatever says. But there's other bots that are focused around what we call black news sites, sites that are known to send disinformation, that what they're doing is just sending out messages pointing people to those sites. Other ones are rebroadcasting information from state-sponsored media, such as from China or Russia. So they're doing a whole bunch of things.
So while they may be spreading things from the WHO or the CDC, it sounds like your study also found that there were more than 100 types of inaccurate COVID-19 stories that are identified, things like potential cures that just aren't true that are spreading because of the bots.
Well, they're also spreading because of humans. So both bots and humans will spread things. So, yes, we found a huge number of different stories. Many of them are inaccurate cures and inaccurate preventions. Other ones of these are false stories about measures the governments were taking to engage in lockdown or to reopen. You know, other ones were just silly stories, such as because of lockdown, there was less pollution in Venice, so the canals were now clean and there were now dolphins and swans going around.
Right, things that just weren't true, even if they were feel good.
Exactly.
Would you expect this amount of bot activity in other places? Is it typical all the time, or would we see it for something like a natural disaster or an election? How do we figure out what the norm is?
So you don't. Well, in our studies, we have found more bots around political events like elections than we have during natural disasters, although you will see some there as well. We also will see a few around like certain types of new movies, but we don't see them around absolutely everything. So there's way fewer, for example, in certain groups like the plane spotters. So it kind of depends on the kind of group you have, whether or not you will see a lot of bots.
And how do you figure out if an account is someone who just likes to retweet a lot or if you're dealing with a bot?
It's actually really, really difficult. And the way we figure out if something is a bot is we actually built these bot hunting tools. They're machine learning tools. And what they do is they use tons and tons and tons of data. And they've been trained on data where some human has said, I think this is a bot, I think it isn't. And it tries to find other, actors out there that look like that data. So it's a statistical technique. And it doesn't actually say this is a bot. What it says is here's the probability that it's a bot. So because it's very hard for, as I mentioned, for humans individually to actually figure these things out on their own. There are some tells like, high levels of tweeting or having just a string of numbers for a name or having a gender mismatch between the image and the physical name, changing the name frequently. Things like that are common to bots, but just because they're common doesn't mean a human doesn't ever do them.
Sure. Okay. We are talking with researcher Kathleen Carley, a professor at Carnegie Mellon University and director of the Center for Informed Democracy and Social Cybersecurity. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Have you seen friends or family share messages that you suspect were generated by fake accounts? How have you tried to address those? How did you even figure out that you thought maybe this has come from a place that is not good with its reputation or that might not be trusted? How are you thinking that social media companies should handle this? You can give us a call now at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us. We're on Twitter at WPR Mornings. Kathleen, now that we know kind of how you try to identify these bot messages through analyzing the tweets and also when they are sent and if they're in the same country, those sorts of things, how do we think that the bot messages about the coronavirus are affecting public dialogue?
Well, that's a very good question. It's very hard to tell at this point because when we haven't spent a lot of time figuring that out, what we can see so far is that bots are more likely to be spreading the information from these, black news sites than are human beings. So although that's a very small amount of the coronavirus dialogue, that part of the dialogue that, for example, say it's a bioweapon or whatever, is much more bot-driven than, say, the stuff about real cures.
Okay. They're more likely to kind of traffic in this misinformation?
Well, in that particular kind of misinformation, whereas misinformation like that, if you drink green tea, you won't get coronavirus. That kind of misinformation we see as many humans as bots, or sometimes even more humans than bots. So the bots are not pervasive across all the different kinds of misinformation, but they're strongest in certain pockets.
Then how do we even begin to tell if what we're seeing on social media is a reflection of what people are talking about?
Well, one thing is to actually look at where people are actually looking at real new, you know, real credible news sources. The stuff, you know, that is stuff that more human beings are sending out, and that is stuff that more human beings are talking about, are the things from the credible news sources. The more extreme something sounds, whether it's more of an extreme cure or more of an extreme government measure, those are often more dominated by bot kind of activity.
And your recent study focused on Twitter. Why that social media platform as opposed to Facebook or Instagram?
Okay. It is not because there are more bots on Twitter. That's not it at all. In fact, we don't know how many there are relative to other platforms. It's simply that Twitter has given better access to people doing research than have many of the other platforms.
So because you have better access to the data there, it makes sense to start there with what you're working on.
Exactly.
And then will you try to study bot activity on other platforms if you can get a hold of the information?
Yes, we're trying to. We're starting to look at it on things like YouTube and Reddit in particular.
All right. We are talking with researcher Kathleen Carley. She stays with us as we discuss the role of automated accounts on social media and how they might play into our conversations with other real people, how they might change our understanding of what the public discussion is on certain topics, especially when it comes to COVID-19. And we're taking your calls. We're wondering, are you worried about the effect that bots might have on our politics or those conversations we have? Do you think social media companies have an obligation to clamp down on this misinformation or spreading of propaganda? What do you think should happen? Maybe you think those alarms about bots are overblown and you don't think they have much of an effect. Give us a call. Let's talk about it together at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This conversation continues here on The Morning Show, and you're listening to The Ideas Network. Automated messages on Twitter make it seem like more people are speaking up about reopening the government than really are. They also peddle cures for COVID-19, which just aren't true. And researchers can't say for sure where they come from, but it appears some bots spreading misinformation on social media are following strategies of Russia and China. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking research into bots with our guest, Carnegie Mellon Professor Kathleen Carley, and with you. There's still a line for you at 800-642-1234. Who do you suspect is pushing fake messages on social media? Have you become more skeptical about what you see on those platforms? Do you notice bots on your Twitter or Facebook feeds? How have you figured out that they're bots? 800-642-1234. And Kathleen, who stands to gain by pushing false narratives on the coronavirus, including the fact that, some bots really focused on supporting reopening of government systems early on?
Okay. Well, some of the bots out there, and this is speaking worldwide, not just in the U.S., are actually, and this is a very small percentage of them, are being used to push messages that are trying to effectively divide communities. So, you know, we see this throughout the world. Like, for example, in India, there's ones that are pushing messages that are, disinformation that Muslims were doing things like spitting on food, et cetera, that were basically aimed to increase the divide between the Hindi and the Muslims in India. So one of the reasons for bots being used this way is to create just general havoc. One is to create polarization. Other times bots are used to spread a message because some group thinks it would be fun. And so those are some of the reasons that they're used.
And why is it that we can't necessarily trace bots back to specific countries or specific groups, I guess?
Well, attribution is extremely hard because, first off, you can actually buy a service which sells you bots, right? And so first you have to figure out that it's purchased. Then you have to figure out who purchased it. you know, and of course, there's a whole bunch of ways you can hide money trails. So that's a huge forensics research, you know, kind of investigation in and of itself. Just using, you know, computer tools and looking at the bot itself, most tweets do not have location information. Even if they do link back to an IP, so it's the computer address, you can spoof that. You can make it look like it's somewhere that it isn't. So it's just very, very difficult.
And we mentioned the Russian and Chinese playbooks. There are different ways that different countries try to influence other nations, especially America, when we're looking at this particular time. How is the propaganda that we see pushed by the Russian government different than what we see from China and other governments?
So in our studies, what we've seen is that Russia does a variety of different kind of things. One, it has a standard practice where it will actually place bots and other actors embedded in, it'll pick any divide, okay, at all, such as, you know, Republican, Democrat, anti-vax, pro-vax, pick your divide. It'll place actors on both sides of a divide, and it'll, those will add them, try to build connections, make those groups denser, more talking to each other. And then once you get them more dense talking to each other, they'll start spreading messages on one side on dismay and one side on excite, thus building polarization and making both sides more echo chamberish so that they become more, so that people get angrier or more excited in these events and then more likely to take their action offline. The other thing that's a very standard Russian tactic. Another Russian tactic is just to try to distort things by sending out totally different messages on totally different topics to kind of confuse the issue. So, and the other thing is Russia will use many, many, many different storylines all at the same time. And if they don't work, they say, oh, that was just a joke. Mm. You know, that was just a joke. In contrast, what we've seen with China doing are a little bit more subtle. China will often do things where what they do is they play up, you know, how China is doing so wonderfully, how it is handling things well, how it is supporting others, you know, and it will actually distort things to make them look overly good, if you know what I mean. So it's a very different kind of strategy. You know, and they will, you know, and then they will also then send out messages and doing things that not only make them look good, but they, how can I say, they don't exactly tolerate things that make them look bad. So those things may get suppressed, you know, if the stream goes through them and so on.
Sure. Kathleen Carley is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and we're talking about her research team that's using multiple methods to figure out who is and isn't a bot on social media and what that really means and its effect on the conversations that we have and how we view the world. Kathleen, you mentioned that people, you know, can buy bots, can buy followers, things like that, and that these different organizations will find divisions and exploit them. Is, you've mentioned that that's true for ideas, but is that true for people too? I mean, in campaigns, if you've got different candidates up, would we see bots target one or the other?
So going back to the 2018 elections, we actually saw bots around every single incumbent who was up for election, as well as around their opponents. And sometimes these bots are nothing more than news bots, just simply, you know, re-spreading out, you know, messages about that one. And sometimes they will be attacking. But they're equally used just for spreading whatever that candidate is saying.
So what you're saying is almost every politician has bots that are dedicated to them, for good or for bad.
They're around them. I don't know who put them there.
Sure. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, this is an incredibly complicated thing, and you're in the work that you're doing. And we do wonder, as we are getting closer to the 2020 election, should we expect that bots will become more active? You said in elections they tend to be.
I would expect that they will either remain at the current level or possibly get more active. but I think it's going to look a little bit different. It's going to look different than it did in 2016 or 2018, in part because the platforms themselves are just so much more active on doing things such as banning the bots that violate the terms of service or putting up notices that certain types of information are disinformation, things like that. And all of that will change the behavior somewhat. But because these are software programs, the people behind them are also going to be adapting and creating new forms. So it would be, although we can't say exactly what they will look like, I'm sure they will be there.
As your research continues, and it is a complicated, deep kind of work that you're doing, what should people, just regular users, be thinking about or looking out for when they're participating on social media? What do you want us to do?
Well, I would say that it's important for, people to keep pestering the government and social media to think about this issue and to try to come up with a joint plan that is consistent with, you know, the moral values of our society. I also think that as individuals, you know, you have to try to be a critical thinker. When you're reading something, don't take it at face value. You know, even if it comes from, apparently seems to come from your group, look at credible sources. Look at the kind of source that is credible for that kind of information. So if you want medical information, go to a medical source, for example. And finally, you know, if something looks like it's probably not true, just don't respread it, even if you think it's funny, because those who are paying attention to you may not realize that, may not think it's funny and think it's serious.
Kathleen,
so don't be part of the process.
Thank you so much for that advice. We really appreciate your time explaining it this morning.
Sure, my pleasure.
Kathleen Carley is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University who's director of the Center for Informed Democracy and Social Cybersecurity, sometimes called IDEAS. We're talking about her research on social media and how bots influence real people spreading their messages. Just ahead, we're talking with three Black moms about the fears and challenges of raising Black children in America today, and we'll hear how they're talking to their children about protests against police brutality and systemic racism. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.